Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Annie Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us, that's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For the sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
As you heard, Fox News top of the hour at Mar-a-Lago now, you have the president meeting with Netanyahu. We'll keep an eye out because I'm guessing they may have a few words to say after that meeting gets out. I don't know if that'll happen during the show, but just know we are watching it for you. Our YouTube live chat poll, do you think that a peace deal will occur between Russia and Ukraine? So your choices are yes in the next month, yes in 2026, yes during Trump's term. But no. So go ahead and vote which way you think that is in the YouTube chat poll as we speak. Ethan, I do have a question. Do you know who Caleb Hammer is?
Caleb Hammer. The name does not ring a bell, no.
He's very popular right now on YouTube and social media. You may have seen some of his clips curated where essentially he yells profanities at people that are really stupid with their money. Does that sound familiar at all?
I mean, there's a very good chance that something has popped up on my feed, perhaps from him, but I don't know him specific by name.
Well, he does a show called Financial Audit, and I've seen the memes floating around where it shows him, Caleb Hammer, and on the other side of the table is Governor Walz from Minnesota, and it'll say things like, you're budgeting $8 billion on daycare for kids that don't exist. So what he does, he'll go through people's finances, and they'll normally be in a lot of debt, and he will just berate them for making one stupid decision after another, until they're basically at the point of crying because they are just so shot down hardcore. I will say that I don't know if he's a conservative, but as a conservative and someone that wants to, you know, point out how stupid people are when it comes to money, this is very entertaining. I'll put it that way. And I think he sympathizes in a lot of different ways. And that's what we're starting to see, these alleged fraud scheme in Minnesota that almost looks guaranteed fraud scheme. And as it turns out, as the FBI is looking into this and Cash Patel wants to know where the money is, I think it's kind of funny that they say something along the lines of, we don't know if it's $1 billion. That's like the defense of Governor Walz right now. We don't know if the fraud is in $1 billion. Like, he's not going to deny it's happening. He's at the point of just trying to downplay its extent, which makes sense because if you got nothing else to do, this is what you do. I wanted to back up because apparently ABC in Minneapolis reported on these back in January of this year and brought up some of the very same concerns. This is not something that's new. So I wanted to play you and just kind of rewind 12 months ago and see where the investigations were. And I thought, how come none of this was followed up on? Let's press play here.
Here we go. Is anybody there?
Since 2018, Minnesota Child Care Center, however, received $11.5 million in CCAP money. I asked DHS why daycare centers could still receive millions of dollars with questionable safety records over multiple years. In a statement, DHS said under state law, they can only stop payment, quote, when a provider intentionally gives false information or submits false attendance records. A provider is operating after a suspension or revocation of its license, there's a credible allegation of fraud, and or a provider refuses access to attendance records.
What does that say to you?
It says that the oversight is incredibly lacking.
I shared our findings with House Speaker Designate Lisa Damon.
Are we keeping kids in Minnesota safe? And what you're showing me here brings that very much into question.
Yeah. So as they start to show these things, So what's happened over the past year? Well, this continues to happen. As we saw on YouTube, Nick Shirley created a documentary about this fraud going on in Minnesota. And it's about a 40-45 minute internet documentary. You can go watch it for yourself if you want to. But they're pretty thorough. So him and a partner basically get together with a watchdog. The watchdog goes down the list. Here is all the different daycares in our area that is collecting millions and millions and millions of dollars. Let's go visit them and see what these operations look like, because if we're going to subsidize these organizations for all this money, then we just want to, you know, make sure they're offering the service they say they're offering for the money. Well, what they found out over and over and over and over again was empty buildings, vacant buildings, multiple businesses operating under the same address, which there's nothing to operate inside. You're not seeing the kids. You're not seeing the workers. You're not seeing any services being rendered. And that was a common thread over and over and over again. And part of the different piece that they put together, at least the part that I'm going to focus on, is one of the weird things that you find inside of office buildings. It's office buildings that are just rows of different businesses that are occupying these part of the building, and it's one daycare after a different daycare after a different daycare after a different daycare, none of which are doing anything. It's all right in the middle of the day when you think daycare would be going on, and no services are being rendered, but it's all centralized in one office building.
Welcome to Bright Beginning Center.
But what do you guys think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
No comments. Can I please?
Right here, you have Serenity Quality Care. All of these businesses are literally the same type of business, providing the same service in the same building. Another, Convenience Home Healthcare, Aid, Inc., and Child Friendly Space. All these companies get money from the government. Why would you have the same company, essentially, inside of the same building, door to door? Right here, Queen Lee Home Healthcare. It just does not make sense. If you were trying to operate a business, you'd want to have less competition. But here, they have all of their competition right next door.
We're wondering, because we hear there's lots of fraud taking place here in Minnesota, and we're wondering, why is there so many of the same companies inside of this same building?
No, I don't know that.
What do you think about the fraud that's taking place here in Minnesota?
I don't have any idea about that fraud, okay? Mm-hmm.
That's it. What do you think about the news articles and what's being spread on the news about the fraud?
Right now, you are doing something wrong.
I'm just asking you.
No, you about don't the have fraud. To ask me, okay? Don't ask me that question again.
Okay.
Okay.
Who can I speak to?
Yeah.
Who can I speak to? Okay. As soon as you confront about the fraud, they get angry.
Okay. Here's let's kind of play out the likely scenarios here. Money's gone. They're not going to recover anything. The worst that can happen is, let's say Somalis that are involved in this are here temporarily. They could get deported. Like, is that's the likely scenario? Because will it be jail time? Well, let's say perhaps that they're required to pay back the money they stole and fraud was part of this, then potential jail time. Would they do that? It depends, too, because if you're inside a state that is friendly to these immigrants that are ripping off the system to the point of millions of dollars of fraud, or even to the point of hundreds of millions of dollars, or even to the point of billion plus dollars worth of fraud, if you enabled them to do that and gave them the leeway and the freedom to do so, then are you going to persecute them or prosecute them, rather, I should say, prosecute them to the full extent of the law? You know, Minnesota and Governor Walz will probably look like they are persecuted. Oh, okay. Haven't they suffered enough? Just give them the millions and millions of dollars they weren't afforded to, and let's just move on from here. It seems like that's going to be part of the plan. But Tim Walz, if you remember, when they were up doing the vice presidential debates, you had Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance debated against Tim Walz. It was a good debate. So here's what Tim Walz had to say regarding how great his state is. This is going back during the election.
We in Minnesota passed a paid family medical leave. You have a child? You. And I had to go back to work 5 days after my kids were born. This allows you to stay home a certain amount of time. What we know is that gets the child off to a better start. The family works better. We stay in their employers. We get more consistency in that. So Kamala Harris has made it a priority. We implemented it in Minnesota, and we see growth. That's how you become a pro-business state. And so a paid family medical leave program, and I will tell you, go to the families or go to the businesses and ask them. As far as childcare on this, you have to take it at both the supply and the demand side. You can't expect the most important people in our lives to take either our children or our parents, to get paid the least amount of money. And we have to make it easier for folks to be able to get into that business and then to make sure that folks are able to pay for that. We were able to do it in Minnesota, and I'm still telling you this. We were listed as the best state. We're still in crisis on this. A federal program of paid family and medical leave and help with this will enhance our workforce, enhance our families, and make it easier to have the children that you want.
Say it again. You're budgeting $8 billion on daycare for kids that don't exist. You don't think the money could be reprioritized in other ways that could actually help people? And if you're inside Minnesota, think about all the things that were cut. And they talked about cuts to policing, public safety, because, you know, those are the enemies. But now you're saying that we're going to prioritize giving millions of dollars out for people claiming to put daycares together. We're going to put literally zero oversight or repercussion if they can't even give us the roles of how many people are inside of this daycare. And when questioned, we're going to continue to allow them to draw millions of dollars out to fund empty buildings where they don't really care if attendance is there or not. They're still getting paid and sitting around with it. The oversight is guaranteed now because of all the national pressures that are going on. And it all starts with one guy on Twitter, Nick Shirley, who got this all into motion. Good for him. I know that ABC Minnesota, we played that clip from earlier this year. They've been looking into this. They report it, goes nowhere. That's the end. Nick Shirley did something, and there's actually going to be change associated with what he did. That's fantastic. We need more people like him. I'm Ryan Riker, filling in for Annie Fry. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. I think I'm about to explode. I can taste the tension like a cloud of smoke in the air. Now I'm breathing like I'm...
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey, I've changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby.
It's a Monday. It's a week where we will have to change our calendars over to 2026. You know what's kind of funny? When I was growing up, this time of year, everyone would say things like, I wonder how long I'm going to be writing 2025 on my checks. No one says that anymore because no one writes checks anymore. No one's concerned about writing 2025 on anything. Everything's done on a digital device. I don't know if we're in trouble or not. Ethan, I got some questions for you. Did you watch Nickelodeon or Disney or any of those networks growing up?
I did.
That type of programming.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy that they keep talking about online from Ned's Declassified, mm-hmm. former star Tyler Chase. Were you familiar with him before he was on the streets? And,
I was,
you know,
not.
Saved?
No, I was not. I never watched Ned's Declassified very often. Like I watched the show a little bit, but I have seen the stuff regarding him now and the latest on him, yes.
Right. So there's been a lot of attention on him. It's kind of fascinating because if we look at this as a case study, there's a lot of people that wanted to help him because of his association with the TV show. He was a child star. Found him living on the street, not in a good condition. Always trying to hold his pants up. Every video I've seen, he's like holding his pants up. Somebody get this guy a belt, please. I don't care if it's an extension cord he has to tie in the front. Get him something to hold his pants up, because he spends, I don't know how much energy, trying to keep those things from falling to the ground. So the former star had some issues with homelessness. You had other people that were stars on the network, people that were child actors, reach out to him, try to get him a place to stay. Here's, we're going to put you up in this motel. We're going to get you to rehab. We want to help you. So they put him up in the hotel. They get him a meal, you know, and he's like very thankful for all of this. Like, you can see that he's like, you know, smiling and this is great. And thank you so much. Put him in a hotel room, or motel, I should say. And apparently he trashed the place, which is not great. So they put him into rehab, involuntary rehab. And apparently after 72 hours, they were supposed to send him, after this involuntary mental health crisis, to a different facility. Well, that facility released him because he wanted to go. Now TMZ has a photo of him smoking crack on the street again. And the picture of him smoking crack, it does not look like he's having a good time. He is wearing this oversized jacket on his head. I'm not sure how to explain this. It looks like you were to take someone's pants and rip it and kind of have like this a circular part of the pants and use it as a small hat. It almost looks something like that, like a ripped leg of a pants used as a hat. And he's got the tattoos. He's got the, you know, the scour on his face because they're showing him literally holding a crack pipe. Isn't that sad? I look at this and I think drugs, it's such an issue. It's such a problem. It's ruined so many people. I know that being a child star doesn't mean you're going to be guaranteed money for life, because not everyone manages their money properly, but it's also not a guarantee you're going to end up on the street. It means that just one day, if you're out of acting and you did that thing for a little bit, you got the benefit of it. Hopefully you save some money, but if not, you get another job. If you want to keep acting, you get another job. If you don't want to act, you do something else. You go to school. Your education is important. You can go and find something else. And you know what? Maybe one day there'll be a reunion. Or a lot of people go to these different Comic-Cons and they sign autographs for fans for, you know, $50 a pop. So as this continues to go on, sometimes you look at it and say, at what point are they just going to say, we tried our best. We got to stop. It's over. Do you think maybe, this would probably be in poor taste, but can we use him as an example for why we're trying to get rid of these drug boats from coming into the United States? Like, what they're trying to stop from coming into the United States, this is someone you may have watched on a television show that was popular enough for people to know who he is. They recognize his face, even though his face is not the same as it was when he was a kid, but they can see it. And now they see pictures of him smoking crack after all these different efforts and all these different people who have tried to help him. Can we say that maybe there's something to what Donald Trump is trying to do in getting this junk off the street? Can we agree that drugs are bad? Can we agree that these drugs bring death? Can we agree that when you look at California and they're hunched over like they're trying to tie their shoe, but they're just standing there, not moving, standing dead, whatever it is? Can we admit that the people that are bringing these drugs in that cause this are not good people? Can we say that we would save lives by stopping this from coming in? And even if it means blowing the stuff up before it gets here, it saves American lives, and that's the goal here? Can we say that or not? Or would you just say, let's look at this Tyler Chase, who was on Ned's Declassified as a child star, and say, you know what, whatever. This is the way it is. Bring the drugs in, and if it's your family member that's caught up in this, sorry. We had to let those drug traffickers operate. No, it's just, we just had to let the drug traffickers do their thing. Don't you have any sympathy for the drug traffickers here? Is that what you expect us to say? I don't think it should be like that. And we shouldn't have to live that way either. Speaking of celebrities, this is kind of interesting. Cheryl Hines was on with Dr. Phil. And during the election, you had her husband, Robert Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., was first running as an independent, then joined forces with Donald Trump. And we had that big moment with the sparks and everything else where they come into agreement. I think Charlie Kirk was a big part of bringing those two together, if I remember correctly. But once they joined forces, Donald Trump said, I'm going to bring you on and we're going to do Make America Healthy Again. And all these things that you've been advocating for over the years, we're going to try to implement those things. We'll put you as the head of the department. And he's like, all right, let's do it. They joined forces. I don't know if that's the reason why Donald Trump won, but it's some of the reasons why, because with him not running also, I think that helped clear the way some, at least bringing them back on board. Well, during all of this, you have Cheryl Hines, who's in Hollywood. And in the past, she's described how mean people were to her. She said the conservatives, they weren't mean to her. It didn't matter. She was any type of leaning, but they were always nice and courteous. She said as soon as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., her husband, showed interest in running, even as an independent, and then showed some, you know, skepticism about some of the health standards and things like that, she said that the meanest, they were the absolute meanest to her, were the liberals that were in Hollywood. So during that time, there were some speculations that Cheryl Hines and RFK Jr. may have separated because of all of these things that are going on. It's kind of interesting because Dr. Phil asked about that, and maybe those were just rumors in order to protect her. Listen to this.
He said he even offered a fake separation if he thought it would help.
Yes.
Did you consider that?
Well, it was, things got really intense. Yes. I didn't consider it, but you're talking about when, during COVID, when Bobby was speaking about vaccine safety, and he wanted to see the studies where the COVID vaccine was safe. He had feelings about it being mandatory. He had feelings about the shutdown. And they weren't always popular, especially in this town.
Yeah, especially in this town. Not always popular. Didn't get popular. Isn't that something? I thought about that as a husband. Would you be able to leak false information in order to protect your wife? Because you know people hate you. So you don't want them hating her because you love her. So you say, okay, I've devised this plan to make it look like she hates me too, so they're on her side, so they'll leave her alone. And that type of information gets leaked out. Dr. Phil now asking about it, did you ever consider, but because she never really publicly came out and said any of that stuff, but it sounds like they tried to put that rumor out there to try to protect her. That is an interesting strategy. Really interesting strategy. If you haven't already voted in our YouTube poll, I think this would be a good opportunity for you to hop on. If you want to go say hi in the comment section too, that's always good. YouTube live chat poll. Do you think that a peace deal will occur between Ukraine and Russia? Your options are yes in the next month, yes in 2026, yes during Trump's term, or no. It's really hard to tell at this point. Yesterday, the optimism level was high. When you have Putin come out today that they bombed my residence, it seems like trying to get Russia on board seems low. They may be using this as a stall tactic or maybe just to show their disapproval that they don't want to give up any more concessions. So we'll see how that goes. Also, we are monitoring Mar-a-Lago. You have President Trump meeting with Netanyahu. So we'll see if there's any progress between Israel there in the Middle East with Gaza. Could there come to be some more peace deals yet to be announced before the end of 2025? I mean, nothing short of a miracle if you can get some sort of peace going on there, but it all signs point to that possibly happening. So we got that going on. If there is a press conference after they're done speaking, we'll bring it to you here on 97.1. And what I'd like to do is, you know, just duck in and we'll hear a couple of questions to kind of get a gist of how things have went. We want to keep you informed on that. All right. Coming up after the break, a lot of people talking about J.D. Vance in 2028, but they have to take things slow. Why? Because if they take it too fast, could that lead the way for Gavin Newsom to become the next president? And I want you to ask this question to yourself. Is there a stronger Democratic candidate than Gavin Newsom right now? I don't know if there is. So that's why you have to play with some caution. I'm Ryan Riker, filling in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. Whoa, kisses me, baby.
about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. Yeah, go vote in the YouTube poll. I would like to read those results at the end. I'm very curious where you think this one's going, particularly because we had such a big bomb drop that, you know, Russia's not too happy right now, considering Russia thinks that Ukraine is bombing the residents of Putin. Let me ask you this, Ethan, if you don't mind. Is there a bigger star in the Democratic Party right now than Gavin Newsom?
Oh, geez. That is a
Who would
terrible.
Who you say has the best odds?
I mean,
of all.
Yeah, I guess I'd say define star. I mean, I don't even know how if the Democratic Party would be able to define it right now. I guess by consolation, because I don't know who else would be there. I mean, is it Kamala Harris right now? It seems like the party has turned against her. I genuinely don't know else you would put in there. I mean, Josh Shapiro's kind of been quiet here.
Since
I guess the vice president pick
awfully quiet
got made. I don't know. There really isn't a someone that's leading it in a sense right now. But I guess by default, by consolation, it's Newsom right now. But boy, there is not a good answer to that question right now.
When it comes to Kamala Harris, remember the Tiger King meme? We'll never financially recover from this. I don't think they'll ever recover financially from Kamala Harris blowing through all that money. Is the Democrat Party even out of debt yet? I feel like they're still trying to get out of that. And you want to talk about just how poorly regarded Joe Biden is. I keep seeing the headlines that they're trying to raise this money for his presidential library, and they can't raise more than 2 million or even at 2 million. It is pathetic. No one even wants to give him money to put a library together. At this pace, there won't be one around by the time, you know, he's around to enjoy it. I should put it that way. Did you see the Joe Biden photograph that came out? It was their Christmas party photograph. And they have the Biden family, and Joe's hiding in the background. Did you see that one?
Isn't this like the second straight year that's happened? Or maybe it was a couple of years ago where he was kind of like placed in the back of the photo. Because I feel like this is deja vu. When I saw this, I'm like, why is he kind of awkwardly placed in the back again? But yes, I did see this and it gave me a good chuckle.
I feel like he just like accidentally wandered into it and he wasn't invited. So they looked at it and they said like, oh, we forgot to invite Joe. But then he just wanders in and he's smiling like, you know, oh, I'm here. Like, oh, I'm glad I made it just in time. So they're like, fine, get in the back. Get out of here in the back. Like, they're treating him like the old man. It's be elder abuse in any other circumstance. I want to go back to J.D. Vance here. And Here's what an Axios article was. I'm not a fan of Axios, I got to be honest, but says Vice President J.D. Vance plans to literally fly above MAGA's rising civil war, campaigning coast to coast in the midterms and sticking close to President Trump while building support for an expected presidential run in 2028. I feel like J.D. Vance, yes, is the front runner right now. I feel like Donald Trump doesn't want to say it outright, but he will acknowledge that of all the people that he seems to be at the top of the list. Marco Rubio has just continuously impressed me over and over and over again. I think that it'll be Marco Rubio perhaps working with J.D. Vance in this instance. Unless something happens and J.D. Vance is no longer an option, then Marco Rubio will step in. I can say the 1-2 in the Republican Party right now is so much stronger than Gavin Newsom and the best that Democrats can put up. I don't know if Gavin Newsom could even fundraise, but maybe he'll get a lot of Hollywood people, considering it's California, giving him some money. It could potentially be it. But this is what they say. He's focused on next November's midterms, not necessarily 2028 when the presidential election is. But you have to take things one step at a time. They don't want them to jump over the midterms. And the real fear that Democrats could take back control in the House is one that, you know, it's in with realistic striking distance. I think what Donald Trump has done in order to try to, you know, look at districts and gerrymandering that the Democrat Party has been taking part of for the last years, also purging voter rolls so people that are ineligible to vote don't have the opportunity to do so. I think there's a lot of things that are going to be working in the Republicans' corner in this case. And part of this, too, is fight for young men ahead of the 2026 midterms. It says the fight for young men intensifies. This is an NBC story. Ahead of the midterm, some Democrats say the momentum is shifting. High-profile Democrats running in last month's elections improved on the party's poor performance among young men 1 year before. And they looked at Mamdani as one of those examples. Look at Mamdani. He won, and young men voted for him. Some 2028 Democratic presidential contenders launched policy initiatives aimed at men and boys. And in Trump's first year in office, young men say they feel a continued economic and social problem cutting into the support of that key group. Do you think young men are going to be the key again in the midterms? Is it going to be young men primarily what's going to sway who wins the House next year?
Oh, it's so hard to know. I would have to imagine that the younger demographic is going to continue to play an important role. I mean, and that's why people like Charlie Kirk were and, you know, still are so important, because they were willing to go out and have those conversations and force people my age to think and to really think and to have hard conversations. That is not happening enough. So I have to imagine that, you know, and there are a lot of people out there, I think, that probably do feel a responsibility to carry on the legacy of Charlie Kirk. So, yes, I do think that the way in which the younger demographic gets swayed is going to have a huge role as to what the midterm looks like. It'll just be a matter of can the Republicans get enough of the demographic, that young demographic that they need to go out and vote at a midterm, because it isn't the, you know, it isn't the big vote, it isn't the shiny vote, but it is still obviously extremely important.
I look at that and I think, why would a young male, either college age or just past college, want to join the Democratic Party? I mean, what's so appealing to them about it? Not a whole lot, unless the Democrat Party changes all of a sudden and has some sort of giant shift in their policies or their the way they're viewed. We can put it that way, too. Their perception may be one that needs to change, too. But I think the Republican Party, you look at people, you know, comedy and just the ones that are having a good time, generally, that's on the Republican side. If you look at the Democrat side, it's not about having fun. The Democrat side is like, you need to feel guilty about who you are, and you need to atone for your guilt by allowing Somalians in Minnesota to continue to get millions of dollars for no apparent reason. And just, you need to allow this and you need to allow that. And if you're not on that side, then it's a reflection of you being a terrible human being, because other than you being part of the Democratic Party, there's no other way to atone for you being a terrible human being. That's kind of where they're sitting right now. And that doesn't sound like fun. This is what I need you to do. I want you to look up that Caleb Hammer. You're not allowed to play any audio on air because none of it would be suitable for on air. I wonder if a Caleb Hammer style person that could talk to Democrats the way he talks to people that are really mismanaging their finances would be like the next Charlie Kirk type of movement. If there was someone like him that talked kind of like how he talks to his guests, but talk to Democrats and young people and about just how stupid it is, the way that they view life and how it is damaging to them and how it is definitely not beneficial to them and how it's going to take them forever to recover from all of their mistakes. But I wonder if there's that Charlie Kirk person that acts like Caleb Hammer that would be able to set him straight. I wonder if that personality is out there, because Charlie Kirk, you can't necessarily rely on plain old clips of him for that much longer. I know we're not that far removed from it. You need someone that would be able to bring that message to life. And I know that Turning Point continues. And I think Turning Point USA even said they're going to continue on with the Prove Me Wrong series. So they're going to go out and do more of these different campus gatherings where they're going to have someone there answering questions. And there's a lot of people that I think would be able to step in and do that. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of high-profile people that would be happy to do that in Charlie Kirk's honor. And we'll see how that plays out. Maybe that going back to the campuses is what's going to continue to appeal to the young men. And from there, maybe that is how the Republicans don't lose in the midterm. That would be devastating to lose in the midterm. But as Ryan Schmelz said from Fox News Radio, we could have another government shutdown in January, and no one's going to like that. We got the big, beautiful bill. Some tax incentives are going to be kicking in. People are going to be applying for their taxes soon. I think they're going to see the benefits from that. Here's what I think we really need to be careful of. If you allow, let's say, a Gavin Newsom in there, and all of a sudden, the type of progressive policies that he advocated for in California that went through are somehow advocated for on a federal level, it's going to be a very difficult thing to turn back the clock, because I think he'll take the same approach Donald Trump has taken. I'm just going to do it and see if the courts stop me. So you're going to see some pretty strong whiplash if a Gavin Newsom got in there. I think a J.D. Vance got in, I think we can see a pretty strong leadership. We can continue on in the legacy, and we can continue to move the country in the right direction. I think Donald Trump realizes his time is what? Yes, it's his last year in office. It's his second term. I also think his time that he has left in order to right some of the wrongs of the country that he loves, he knows that he's not going to be around here forever. He's an old guy, just like everyone else. We all age. So he's trying to do as much as he can for as long as he can to try to get this done. We need someone that also shares that sort of interest. J.D. Vance is young. He shares that interest. I think he can do a lot of good. Is it going to happen? It's anyone's guess. All right. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. Yeah, go vote in the YouTube poll. I would like to read those results at the end. I'm very curious where you think this one's going, particularly because we had such a big bomb drop that, you know, Russia's not too happy right now, considering Russia thinks that Ukraine is bombing the residence of Putin. Let me ask you this, Ethan, if you don't mind. Is there a bigger star in the Democratic Party right now than Gavin Newsom?
Oh, geez. That is a terrible...
Who would you say has the best odds,
I mean,
of all of it?
Yeah, I guess I'd say define star. I mean, I don't even know how if the Democratic Party would be able to define it right now. I guess by consolation, because I don't know who else would be there. I mean, is it Kamala Harris right now? It seems like the party has turned against her. I genuinely, I don't know else you would put in there. I mean, Josh Shapiro's kind of been quiet here. Since I guess the vice president pick
quiet.
Got made. I don't know. There really isn't a someone that's leading it in a sense right now. But I guess by default, by consolation, it's Newsom right now. But boy, there is not a good answer to that question right now.
When it comes to Kamala Harris, remember the Tiger King meme? We'll never financially recover from this. I don't think they'll ever recover financially from Kamala Harris blowing through all that money. Is the Democrat Party even out of debt yet? I feel like they're still trying to get out of that. And you want to talk about just how poorly regarded Joe Biden is. I keep seeing the headlines that they're trying to raise this money for his presidential library, and they can't raise what, more than 2 million or even at 2 million. It is pathetic. No one even wants to give him money to put a library together. At this pace, there won't be one around by the time, you know, he's around to enjoy it. I should put it that way. Did you see the Joe Biden photograph that came out? It was their Christmas party photograph. And they have the Biden family, and Joe's hiding in the background. Did you see that one?
Isn't this like the second straight year that that's happened? Or maybe it was a couple of years ago where he was kind of like placed in the back of the photo. Because I feel like this is deja vu. When I saw this, I'm like, why is he kind of awkwardly placed in the back again? But yes, I did see this, and it gave me a good chuckle.
I feel like he just like accidentally wandered into it, and he wasn't invited. So they looked at it, and they said, like, oh, we forgot to invite Joe. But then he just wanders in, and he's smiling like, you know, oh, I'm here. Like, oh, I'm glad I made it just in time. So they're like, fine, get in the back. Get out of here in the back. Like, they're treating him like the old man. It's be elder abuse in any other circumstance. I want to go back to J.D. Vance here. And here's what an Axios article was. I'm not a fan of Axios, I got to be honest. But it says, Vice President J.D. Vance plans to literally fly above MAGA's rising civil war, campaigning coast to coast in the midterms and sticking close to President Trump while building support for an expected presidential run in 2028. I feel like J.D. Vance, yes, is the front runner right now. I feel like Donald Trump doesn't want to say it outright, but he will acknowledge that of all the people that he seems to be at the top of the list. Marco Rubio has just continuously impressed me over and over and over again. I think that it'll be Marco Rubio perhaps working with J.D. Vance in this instance. Unless something happens and J.D. Vance is no longer an option, then Marco Rubio will step in. I can say the 1-2 in the Republican Party right now is so much stronger than Gavin Newsom and the best that Democrats can put up. I don't know if Gavin Newsom could even fundraise, but maybe he'll get a lot of Hollywood people, considering it's California, giving him some money. It could potentially be it. But this is what they say. He's focused on next November's midterms, not necessarily 2028 when the presidential election is. But you have to take things one step at a time. They don't want them to jump over the midterms. And the real fear that Democrats could take back control in the House is one that, you know, it's in with realistic striking distance. I think what Donald Trump has done in order to try to, you know, look at districts and gerrymandering that the Democrat Party has been taking part of for the last years, also purging voter rolls so people that are ineligible to vote don't have the opportunity to do so. I think there's a lot of things that are going to be working in the Republicans' corner in this case. And part of this, too, is fight for young men ahead of the 2026 midterms. It says the fight for young men intensifies. This is an NBC story. Ahead of the midterm, some Democrats say the momentum is shifting. High-profile Democrats running in last month's elections improved on the party's poor performance among young men 1 year before. And they looked at Mamdani as one of those examples. Look at Mamdani. He won, and young men voted for him. Some 2028 Democratic presidential contenders launched policy initiatives aimed at men and boys. And in Trump's first year in office, young men say they feel a continued economic and social problem cutting into the support of that key group. Do you think young men are going to be the key again in the midterms? Is it going to be young men primarily what's going to sway who wins the House next year?
Oh, it's so hard to know. I would have to imagine that the younger demographic is going to continue to play an important role. I mean, and that's why people like Charlie Kirk were and you know, still are so important because they were willing to go out and have those conversations and force people my age to think and to really think and to have hard conversations. That is not happening enough. So I have to imagine that, you know, and there are a lot of people out there, I think, that probably do feel a responsibility to carry on the legacy of Charlie Kirk. So, yes, I do think that the way in which the younger demographic gets swayed is going to have a huge role as to what the midterm looks like. It'll just be a matter of can the Republicans get enough of the demographic, that young demographic that they need to go out and vote at a midterm, because it isn't the, you know, it isn't the big vote. It isn't the shiny vote, but it is still obviously extremely important.
I look at that and I think, why would a young male, either college age or just past college, want to join the Democratic Party? I mean, what's so appealing to them about it? There's, to me, not a whole lot, unless the Democrat Party changes all of a sudden and has some sort of giant shift in their policies or their the way they're viewed. We can put it that way, too. Their perception may be one that needs to change, too. But I think the Republican Party, you look at people, you know, comedy and just the ones that are having a good time, generally, that's on the Republican side. If you look at the Democrat side, it's not about having fun. The Democrat side is like, you need to feel guilty about who you are, and you need to atone for your guilt by allowing Somalians in Minnesota to continue to get millions of dollars for no apparent reason. And just, you need to allow this and you need to allow that. And if you're not on that side, then it's a reflection of you being a terrible human being, because other than you being part of the Democratic Party, there's no other way to atone for you being a terrible human being. That's kind of where they're sitting right now. And that doesn't sound like fun. This is what I need you to do. I want you to look up that Caleb Hammer. You're not allowed to play any audio on air because none of it would be suitable for on air. I wonder if a Caleb Hammer-style person that could talk to Democrats the way he talks to people that are really mismanaging their finances would be like the next Charlie Kirk type of movement. If there was someone like him that talked kind of like how he talks to his guests, but talked to Democrats and young people and about just how stupid it is, the way that they view life and how it is damaging to them and how it is definitely not beneficial to them and how it's going to take them forever to recover from all of their mistakes. But I wonder if there's that Charlie Kirk person that acts like Caleb Hammer that would be able to set him straight. I wonder if that personality's out there, because Charlie Kirk, you can't necessarily rely on plain old clips of him for that much longer. I know we're not that far removed from it. You need someone that would be able to bring that message to life. And I know that Turning Point continues. And I think Turning Point USA even said they're going to continue on with the Prove Me Wrong series. So they're going to go out and do more of these different campus gatherings where they're going to have someone there answering questions. And there's a lot of people that I think would be able to step in and do that. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of high-profile people that would be happy to do that in Charlie Kirk's honor. And we'll see how that plays out. Maybe that going back to the campuses is what's going to continue to appeal to the young men. And from there, maybe that is how the Republicans don't lose in the midterm. That would be devastating to lose in the midterm. But as Ryan Schmell said from Fox News Radio, we could have another government shutdown in January, and no one's going to like that. We got the big, beautiful bill, some tax incentives that are going to be kicking in. People are going to be applying for their taxes soon. I think they're going to see the benefits from that. Here's what I think we really need to be careful of. If you allow, let's say, a Gavin Newsom in there, and all of a sudden, the type of progressive policies that he advocated for in California that went through are somehow advocated for on a federal level, it's going to be a very difficult thing to turn back the clock, because I think he'll take the same approach Donald Trump has taken. I'm just going to do it and see if the courts stop me. So you're going to see some pretty strong whiplash if a Gavin Newsom got in there. I think a J.D. Vance got in, I think we can see a pretty strong leadership. and we can continue on in the legacy, and we can continue to move the country in the right direction. I think Donald Trump realizes his time is what, yes, it's his last year in office, it's his second term. I also think his time that he has left in order to right some of the wrongs of the country that he loves, he knows that he's not going to be around here forever. He's an old guy, just like everyone else. We all age. So he's trying to do as much as he can for as long as he can to try to get this done. We need someone that also shares that sort of interest. J.D. Vance is young. He shares that interest. I think he can do a lot of good. Is it going to happen? It's anyone's guess. All right. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, it's your main man, Jimmy Failla, and I am headed your way. Saturday, January 24th at the Factory in Chesterfield. We are defunding the joke police. So grab your tickets at 971fmtalk.com/events, and I will see you in the loo.
I'm Ultima Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Every time one of my children started driving, it was terrifying. I am quite aware of the dangers being on the road. Thousands of accidents happen across the country. We see it every day. These families' lives will be changed in an instant. We fight for these families as if they were our own. We've become America's largest injury law firm by winning cases just like these. If you've been injured in a car accident, call us.
Injured? Dial pound law or visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
It's time for you to get to know my friends at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield, where luxury meets comfort. Mark Cox here. They have a great selection of rare bourbons, whiskeys, craft cocktails, anything you like to drink, cold beer, premium hand-rolled cigars from the finest makers in the world, even private lockers that are available if you choose to, perfect for date nights or business meetings and live music every Friday night. Family-owned and operated. Check them out in Chesterfield at the District. It's litstl.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis Conservative.
Filling in for Annie Fry. And speaking of Charlie Kirk, there was a news story that happened today. According to the New York Post, a Utah judge ruled today that the records from a private hearing connected to the alleged assassin will be released. There'll be some redactions, but it'll be released. The judge said they're announcing it soon. So the transcript from the October 24th closed-door proceeding will be made public by the end of the day. Today, I haven't seen that yet. If it's out there, I'll be curious to see how that interview process went after the manhunt and they found their guy, most likely their guy. I know innocent until proven guilty. Ethan, I saw someone post this on social media. Ask if you got any melatonin deodorant for Christmas. What does that mean? I don't understand.
Hold on. Did you say melatonin deodorant?
Melatonin deodorant. What does that mean?
Melatonin deodorant. So there's been a running joke the past couple of weeks with something regarding deodorant, but melatonin, I'm very curious as to what their spin was on that. I can give you the quick backstory to this. A couple of weeks ago, Annie and the crew did their yearly show from Ruler Foods in St. Charles, where they are raising money for food. It's a food drive, basically.
Right.
And this year, my wife made a surprise appearance. While I was in studio running the board, my wife made a surprise appearance at Ruler Foods because we live just down the road. And they threw her on air in the final 2 minutes of the show and basically said, "What can you tell us about Ethan? What can you out about Ethan?" And she thought for a second and she said, "He doesn't like to wear deodorant when he goes to bed." And in the coming days, I had the chance to explain that what that meant is I didn't like the feeling of deodorant on me when I was going to bed. So what I do is I shower before bed, and then when I wake up, I put deodorant on because it just feels like sticky on my armpits. I just don't like the feeling.
Yeah. So that's totally normal.
So I got a lot of heat from Annie, from Ryan, from Brad for this.
What?
And as well as the chat. And so that has been a running joke now for the last couple of weeks. I don't know where the melatonin comes in. I would love some context on what exactly
maybe helps you sleep or something.
I guess. But I don't know. But anyway, I've been getting bullied a little bit by the crew here lately because of that.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely been bullied. You're the normal one. I think putting deodorant on before going to bed is strange. I think you're right. I want my pits to be not feeling like there's gel or anything in there when I'm trying to sleep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Plus, you're going to rub up and get that on the sheets or your pillow. I don't want that. No.
It's just a weird feeling when you're trying to get comfortable and you're moving around in bed and you just your arms rub together and you're like, oh, that just feels weird. I don't like it. Sue me.
My wife also puts on deodorant at night, and I say, honey, why do you do that? She's like, it's just my nighttime deodorant. I said, I you really don't need it. Honestly, you don't need to put it on at night. Is that just what people do? Is that an adult thing that I skipped and didn't realize other adults do?
I couldn't tell you. I guess so. All I know is that it's been a long couple of weeks, and Christmas time was well-timed because I needed to get away from some of these people.
From the bullying, mm-hmm. just singled out. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something else I don't understand? Why do people like the movie Avatar? That is one of the dumbest movies. I watched the first one, and I thought, why do people like this so much? The visual effects do not make up for all the other stupid parts of the movie. Then they come out with another one, and there's another one in the theater right now, and they're all so dumb. What am I missing?
So you don't like any of them?
No,
okay.
Not even a little bit.
I
would rather look out the window for squirrels for 2 hours than watch Avatar.
Wow, that is very intense. I haven't seen the second one or the third one, but I can say that when the first one came out, and you put the disc in the Blu-ray player, you know, there was a little bit of an excitement as a 10-year-old because you knew you were about to watch a really freaking cool movie because the graphics, the editing, it was all just so ahead of its time, and it certainly is a unique plot. It certainly is a unique storyline. So I didn't hate the first one. I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies. But I haven't seen either of the second or the third one. I will probably eventually, but I don't know. The whole we have to make a second one just to make a second one in general in Hollywood, I think, is unnecessary. Some movies I know are set up for that. This didn't feel like it was a movie that needed a second one.
No. And third or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's at. Is that the third one that's out right now?
Yes.
But the appeal, people go crazy, and it makes so much money. I feel like at some point they're lying about how much money it made. And people have pointed out, they'll go see the movie, and then you'll see zero quotes from it, or no one will post any scenes, no one will talk about anything that they liked about it. It's just they go see it, and they never speak of it again. I am so skeptical. This might be a money laundering thing. I almost feel like they put this out and just like pretend all this money comes into it. And really, they're just laundering money to some other organization or something. I just honestly do not understand the appeal. It's just, and if you go down to Disney in Orlando, Florida, and you hop on over to the Avatar ride, it is the most overrated, stupid ride that is way overhyped. Even the ride is stupid.
Oh, interesting. I wonder, I would be curious to know what Annie and Brad and Ryan all think about that because they're all huge Disney gurus. They all love Disney. And isn't that, well, I guess you said it's overrated. So it's one of the more popular rides down there in Animal Kingdom, isn't it?
Right. Animal Kingdom, you know it's there. That's right. And we waited in line. We did the thing. You know, it has like one of the big blue guys in a water tube that you walk by as part of the line, and you know, you kind of see what the scale of how big these things would be if it was real life. And you get up there, And the only way I can try to explain it, you remember going to the arcade and there would be like motorcycle racing games and you'd sit on the motorcycle and you'd lean forward and you'd tilt back and
see.
I feel it was like that. You hopped on this thing. You had to take your glasses off. That's one thing. So you're looking at it and it's blurry on the screen. And you sit down and you're like, you have to lean over and then the strap bar comes behind your back and it kind of like pushes you in and it's like you're flying around and it's so lame because there's the Flight of Passage is a fantastic ride. You like sit up and your feet dangle and you're flying around the world. That's cool. This is like a lamer version of Flight of Passage. So I don't even like that. Have you ever seen anyone wear any merchandise for Avatar? A shirt, a hat, a bumper sticker.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't exist. It's money laundering. I'm telling you. There's something to that. How can something make $1 billion or whatever it is at the box office and no one talks about it, no one has merchandise, no one cares about it after the fact? It's just not possible.
It was also, I remember, one of the first movies that was that, I mean, the first one was a really long movie. Movies were not 2.5-3 hours long back in 2010, 2000, whenever that came out. Movies were not that long. So that, I think, I remember people being like, oh, it's really long, but it is amazing. That kind of, you could argue that movie started a trend with stretching the lengths of running times.
You know, remember when Minions came out and a bunch of like high school guys would like go all to the theater in suits and watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like even Minions as a merchandising thing, they have Happy Meal toys. No one does anything for Avatar, period. I don't think it can you even. Most people that watch it probably can't even name the characters. I'll throw that out there. There's just no appeal to it. So that's just one of the many movies I'll never see. I should put a list together of movies I'll never see, and that would be right on top. Of all the movies, I don't know if there'd be one that would be more less appealing to me. Oh, when we come back after the break, by the way, did you see that people are wanting to live the life of Mormons without becoming a Mormon? Have you noticed the trend of Mormonism in 2025? They think it's going to explode in 2026. Not people actually wanting to go and join the faith or believe the things they believe in. They want to live the Mormon lifestyle without being Mormons. That probably shouldn't surprise a lot of people because, I mean, reputation looks pretty good. You know, everyone's happy all the time. And, you know, you can sustain a large family off of a single income. I think those are some pretty popular things that appeal to people. So we'll talk about that after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com. You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.